It is very good to see everyone this evening. And again, just to take a moment to thank you for your very encouraging words and your sweetness that you have shown Laura and I. You've been very attentive. You've been very open to the Word of God. And I know it's not about me. It's about your love for God. And I thank you for that. And that is a great encouragement to me. And as I said before, Don and Janice have spoken very highly of you, and I see why. And again, I just thank God for you and for your faith. As Don mentioned, we've been talking about God's greatest investment tips, and really, again, to reiterate, it's not that God has given us something that we should do, but really He's given us guidance. He's given us His commandments that always will bless us and bring us to His intended end. And so we've used Proverbs 3, 5 through 8 as kind of the signature passage for the lessons. And let's read it again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be health to your body and refreshment to your bones. And so if we will adhere to what God has to say, if we will surrender ourselves to God's will, it will bless us. And so tonight we want to talk about another one of those things that I believe that the Scriptures are very poignant in what God would have us to do. And that's the subject of fellowship. And you can't cover all of the different aspects of these topics. I'll leave all the hard lifting to Don, so when I leave, he can straighten everything out. But I want to talk about things as they should be, because I know we could talk about issues and we could talk about the struggles and all the things, but let's talk about God's perfect design, what He has intended fellowship to be. When we think about fellowship is sweet, isn't it? And one of the wonderful pictures of fellowship is found in the Old Testament in Psalm, the 133rd division. It is good and pleasant when God's people live together in peace. It is like perfumed oil poured on the priest's beard, running down his beard. It ran down on Aaron's beard, on the collar of his robes. It's like the dew of Mount Hermon, falling on the hills of Jerusalem. There the Lord gives His blessings of life forever. And again, so this very picturesque language of blessing, of favor, something that is very pleasant. And that's God's intention for His people. And that's what His people can experience. That's what we experience when we are in this fellowship as God has designed it. And so fellowship, the Greek word, of course, is koinonia, and it means association, it means community, communion, joint participation, intercourse, the share which one has in anything, to participate, intimacy. And so when you look at the definition, very quickly we see that it means people that are connected. And they're just not connected, but they are connected. They are sold together. They are joined together. They are brought together in this wonderful bond and blessing that the unity of God gives His people. And so the bond that links us to one another belongs, goes beyond mere friendship. It is the fellowship in the life of faith and love that are found only in Christ Jesus. And so, again, it's something very special. It's something very wonderful. It's winsome, and it's magnetic. You know, it draws us to it. And another picture of this type of fellowship is found in this word homo thumadon. Homo means one and in the same, and or unison. And thumos, many of you remember or recognize that word, is something that, how many of you have a thermos? And so it's the same idea, isn't it? We use a thermos to keep things hot. And so this word thumos is hot, or another word would be passion. And so it relates to the emotion of the mind and the principle of life that brings us together. The adverb here denotes unity of a group and means with the same emotion, with the same passion, with the same persuasion, having one mind, one desire, one accord. It has one impulse, unity, unanimity. So we can just go down this list and we see very quickly what this means. I want you to open your Bibles and let's see this in living color. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, and let's begin looking at verse 42. Acts 2, verse 42. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Continuing day by day with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. Can you see that? Now, sometimes we might be tempted to say, well, that was just a special and unique occasion. And we know of a surety it was a very special and unique occasion. The beginning of the church, the formation of the body of Christ. But if we just say, well, it was just for them and was just for then, I think we can lose something if we're not careful. Because it transcends just the beginning of the church. And it shows us what God's intended purpose is for his people. The intended purpose of his people is to live together, is to work and to share and to grow and to develop together, to develop this life of faith together. And we see them doing that. Let's look at chapter 4 of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4, in verse 24. And when they heard this, and of course we know that they were being threatened by the authorities. When they heard this, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is you who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in it. So the word there is they lifted up their voice with one accord. They were together in this common purpose. Now look at verse 32. And the congregation of those who believe were of one heart and soul, and not any of them claimed that anything belonged to him was his own, but had all things in common property to them. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. If you're into circling your Bible, circle abundant grace. Abundant favor was upon them all. How? Why? Because they were sold together. Because they were of one mind. They were one accord. They were one of one heartbeat, if you will. They were so dedicated to God that they couldn't help but be dedicated to each other. When we think of fellowship, I want us to challenge ourselves to think beyond these four walls. Because sometimes we think of fellowship and we think of it in a very limited way. Now, again, there are some who abuse fellowship, that fellowship is sitting down and eating and drinking and all that. That's a very limited, small part of fellowship. But sometimes we can think of fellowship as well in a limited way, that we come and we fellowship together in the work and the word here in this room, but it transcends this room. It's our lives together. It's our mind and care and devotion and dedication to one another in this common purpose. And so the importance of fellowship, let's talk about it just for a moment, that there's a calling here. And with this calling comes effort. How many of us have grown as Christians? Raise your hand if you've grown as a Christian. Please, every hand go up. Okay. We've all grown, right? Well, how did we grow? How did we grow as Christians? Did we not grow by design? We made up our mind that I'm going to grow. I'm going to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to study. I'm going to do the things that make for growth, that promote growth. We didn't grow by accident. Heard a beautiful prayer tonight from a young man who is a fairly new Christian. But you wouldn't know it by the way he prayed. I mean, he wanted to say a double amen after he prayed. But that just didn't happen. He's fallen in love with the Lord. He's fallen in love with the will of God. And that spurred him on. That spurred us all on. Fellowship doesn't just happen. It's something that you and I have made up our mind that it's going to begin with me. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, therefore, here's the conclusion that Paul comes to. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We could go through and we could talk about all of those, but I just simply want to draw out for ourselves what Paul is saying here. He's saying, make this a priority. Make this a decision that we have is that we're going to be diligent to preserve something, to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so all that lies within me, I'm going to strive to grow in my oneness with you. Is there someone in this congregation that you really don't know? That we give the right hand of fellowship to, but that's kind of where it stays. And it's until we see each other again, we give each other the right hand of fellowship again, and that's kind of where it stays. May I challenge you tonight to say, and you don't have to do it tonight, but maybe do it tomorrow, if God gives it tomorrow. Well, let's change it. Do it tonight. Go to that person and just say to them, you know what? I really want to get to know you. I really want to get to share my faith with you. I really want us to grow in God together. I want us to be of one heart, of one mind, of one soul, of one purpose. And we are in Christ, but I want to share that with you. Because I think that that's what this scripture is calling us to. Rather than being satisfied with what is so limited and so, I think, so empty, when we could have so much more. God is calling us to so much more. Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. What a glowing commendation for someone to say the hearts of God's people have been refreshed by you. Have you ever needed refreshment? I mean, you've been hot or you're tired and you just, you wanted my kingdom for a cup of cold water. I just want, and when you got that, you just felt that, that is so good. That has enlivened me. That has given me something that I was sorely lacking. And we can be that refreshment to each other. And so Paul commends Philemon for being that. And he says that he had given him great joy and comfort because of his love for the saints. One of the blessings of fellowship is this, In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus said, I give you a new commandment that you love each other. You must love each other as I have loved you. All people will know that you are my followers if you love one another. How is the Brown Street congregation going to turn Akron upside down and inside out? Is it going to be by winning debates? Is it going to be by having little fish stickers on the back of our cars? Is it going to be by having bumper sticker honk if you love Jesus? No, it's not going to be that. How are we going to change this community? How are you going to change this community? The same way God's people are going to change the community everywhere, it's going to be, one of the principal ways is going to be by how we love each other, how we treat each other, how we view one another. Jesus says, by this they will know that you're my disciple if you have love for one another. Because after all, we live in a world that's unloving, don't we? We live in a world that's dark. We live in a world that is hateful and spiteful. We live in a world that is contradictory. For the most part, people are looking for a haven. They're looking for something that's different. They're looking for people that are different. They're looking for a new way, a living way. And who has that? We do. Because we're the people of God. And they're going to look at how we treat each other, how we talk about each other, how we interact with each other. And sometimes, brethren, we don't do a very good job. I've heard brethren, and maybe I've been guilty of this myself, talk about people so bad that if a visitor or a non-Christian were to hear that, they'd say, well, boy, that sounds like Peyton Place over there. That sounds like as the stomach churns in that church. Why would I want to be a part of that when I got this over here? I'm living that. Why would I want to go someplace else and be a part? See, sometimes what we do is not what we should be doing. And so Jesus says, by this they will know if you have love for one another. John 17, 20 through 23, Jesus said, I pray for these followers, but I also am praying for all those who will believe in me because of your teaching. Father, I pray that they can be one. There's that word again, that they can be one as you are in me and I in you. I pray that they also can be one in us, that the world will believe that you sent me. I have given these people the glory that you have given me so that they can be what? One. Just as you and I are one. I will be in them and you will be in me so that they also will be completely what? One. There's that word again. One. Then the world will know that you sent me and that you love them just as much as you have loved me. You know, when brethren can't get along, now I know that there, again, I know there's a limitation to fellowship. I get that. I understand that. But sometimes the things that we fuss and fight about, doesn't it just make you shake your head? And say, who are we following? What are we doing? We're going to fuss and fight about some things that are nonsensical, some things that are just absolutely mind-boggling. And we're anything but one. And so, again, the blessing of fellowship is that that's one of the ways that we will convert a sinful world. Because when we're one together, we're focused. We're not at odds. There's no variance there. But our energies are channeled. They are directed. And we're powerful when we're one. One of the blessings of this fellowship is that there's a motivation to be cleansed from sin. In 1 John chapter 1, 6 and 7. So if we say we have fellowship with God, but we continue living in darkness, we are liars and do not follow the truth. But if we live in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship, or we can share fellowship with each other. Then the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from every sin. When we understand what true fellowship is, and we understand what breaks fellowship, It motivates us to stay away from that which breaks fellowship, because I want this fellowship. I want this sharing because I've tasted it. I've experienced it, and it is good. So why would I do anything that would harm that, that would take that away from me? And the answer is, I won't, or I'll try not to. And if I do, I will repent. I will turn away from it because of what it does with my fellowship to God and what it does to my fellowship, my sharing, my oneness with you. So the warnings of fellowship, we'll talk about this briefly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, Paul says, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with immoral people, but actually I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he is an immoral person or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. So we know that there is this time when fellowship can be broken, when it is severed, when one walks outside of the bounds of that fellowship. And so it can be taken away. Let me ask you a question. Can you miss what you never had? Really? Can you miss what you never had? No, I never had it. Don't miss it one bit. Have you ever thought that when someone is disfellowshipped, when that fellowship is withdrawn and they don't come back, and I know there could be various and sundry reasons why they don't, but maybe, just maybe, it's because they never really enjoyed that fellowship. That it really wasn't what it should have been, what God calls us to make it. He calls us to make it sweet and strong and purposeful and intentional. And when it's not there, you can't miss what you never had. You ever get the mindset that we've got work to do? I know I do. Ephesians 5:11, do not participate in unfruitful deeds of darkness, but rather, or instead, expose them. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 17 really is talking about fellowship with those in the world and how God has called us out of that. And we need to be very careful about that, right? Is that we don't walk in that course because God says, come out, don't touch the unclean thing, because we want him to be our God. Well, let's go deeper. Let's go deeper in our fellowship with God. But one of the ways I think we go deep in our fellowship with God is that we expose our heart. Have you ever prayed this prayer? The psalmist said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there is any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I tell you what, that is a very daunting prayer, request to ask, isn't it? God, search me. God, inspect me. Look at every part of my makeup, of my mind, of my thinking. Everything that I think that is hidden, every nook and cranny, God, you seek it out. And take away anything that's hurtful and harmful. That's what we need to be thinking when it comes to our fellowship with God. Because after all things are naked unto the eyes of him with whom we must give an account. There's nothing hidden from God. He knows everything. And so let's not try to sweep anything under the carpet, because we really want this fellowship with God. We want this oneness with him. Well, one thing that we do is we need to love and we need to keep his word. In John 14, 23 and 24, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. To love God's word, you know, the psalmist, you look at the 119th psalm, and it's all about God's word. And the psalmist is, he's just extolling the testimonies of God, the law of God, the word of God, and how good and how sweet it is. And so going deeper into God's word and keeping his word, keeping his will, because only in that will God abide in us, abide with us. And we know that the term abide means to reside. It means to live within. And so we need to have that understanding. And in keeping with that, we walk as he walked. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. By this we know that we've come to know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. You know, if you're into starring and underscoring your Bible, circling your Bible, that's a section of scripture that needs to be starred and circled and underlined. Because it really speaks to the core of this fellowship with God. To walk, to follow, to be like. And who are we like? Who do we resemble? You know, if you were to look in the mirror tonight, who do you see? Let's see Jesus. Let's see someone who is following him, someone who is striving for this closeness with him. Because this text says, by this we know. That's the acid test. It's not by how I feel. It's not by what the preacher says. It's not by what the elders say. This is how I know that I am in him and he in me. That I abide in his will, that I walk in his will, that I live as he lives. We need to take him off of our to-do list. How many of you have a to-do list? Yeah. And what, there's a curious thing about a to-do list, right? When you've got this to-do list, and usually we rank them in importance, things that we need to do. But if you don't get around to a to-do list, well, oh well. There's always tomorrow. I'll reprioritize things, or I'll rearrange things. And so sometimes we can have God on our to-do list. I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to visit more. I'm going to do all these things more. So we have this to-do list. That's the wrong idea. What we need to do, take him off the list. Make him everything. Make him the center and the circumference. Make him our all in all. In Colossians 3, 1 through 4, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will be revealed with him in glory. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, he's our life. He is everything. Without him, we have absolutely nothing. Going deeper means Christ is the theater in which my life is played. He is my all in all. We need to go deeper with each other. Do you ever get the idea that sometimes we're just too surfacey? We're too superficial? I get that idea sometimes with me. I just speak for me. Because it's easy, you know, and it's, my intention may not be to be superficial. I want to be deep. But again, being deep doesn't just happen. Relationships just don't happen. It takes purpose. It takes design. And so when we think about loving one another, the Bible talks a lot about this. 59 times we have one another passages of Scripture. Of those 59 times, 23 of those directly call us to love one another. And the last time I looked at that word love, at least one of the words love, I mean, there's five in the Greek, but the one that is primarily used is that agape, right? And that love is not based upon who you are. It's not based upon what you do. It's not based upon how I feel, but rather it is a determinate purpose of the will. It is this, I love you in spite of, not I love you if. And so in Romans chapter 12, I haven't heard of Bill. Anybody heard of Bill? Okay. I'm very conscious of that Bill. In Romans chapter 12, verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. When we go through and we look at those things, what comes out is one another. One another's needs, one another's good. And so Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love, the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. To go deeper, we have to sacrifice. We've got to serve. Fellowship, as we said, doesn't happen by accident. It's going to be on purpose, and it always involves service. The thought of service sometimes makes us nervous. Because I got to take away from my time. I got to take away from what I like to do. I got to take away from my money. I got to take away what we need to do. We heard a lot of announcements this week, didn't we? And we offered up some wonderful prayers. Let's do this. Let's be the answer to those prayers. We heard about someone in the hospital. Guess what they need? Maybe they need some food. Maybe they need you to go over and lay that chicken pot pie on the stoop, ring the doorbell and run. Because maybe they don't want to talk to anybody, but maybe they just need a little, you know, somebody to come see about me. And don't we all need that? Well, our time's up. Investing in the fellowship of God. We're sold together beyond these walls. And this town will not be able to contain the people of God. Because fellowship is that sweet. It's that powerful.